And we pray this all in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Hi, everybody. My name is Stevie B, and I'm a grateful alcoholic, a member of the West Side Men's Group.
Nice.
It's very nice to be here with you guys tonight. I feel very humbled. I feel very humbled because I was looking around the room, and you know, when I come in, I say a lot of hello to a lot of people, but it's because I really know a lot of people. And I specifically know a lot of people in this room. I know a lot of seekers. I know a lot of believers. I know a lot of people that are following the program, believing in the program. And it seems to be packed solid in this room of people that are along the path tonight. And I'm very grateful for that. My entire life, I was a scoffer. I was the guy that was going in the opposite direction of the way that you guys were going. And, you know, my first sponsor's here, so that always it's a blessing and it's a curse. It's a blessing because I think of all the incredible things that he did for me in my first 8 years. It's a curse because, you know, he knows if I'm up here and I'm blowing smoke, so he gives me the look. Between him and Wendy, it's like a, you know, the lie detector test while I'm up here. It's nice to see some friends back, Steve, back from the West Coast. And you know, before we get into step, I want to say that I'm not saying that I have a thinking problem, but Spike text messaged me. He had the flu tonight, and I think Larry's here. Larry's good. Joe's going in for surgery tomorrow morning, so hopefully that's going to be okay. And my friend Ann's going in for surgery, and then someone else text messaged me. They had a car accident, and another person text messaged me under the weather. And I got to tell you, by the sixth text message, I was feeling, you know, really low. I'm like walking in here, I'm wondering if I'm going to have a car accident. I'm wondering if I have a flu. So my mind definitely is definitely powerful in my life. And that's a true story. I was just saying it to Sandy. After the third text message from Spike, I started to get symptoms. I started to get phlegm. If it's your first meeting here for the steps, I want to tell you that if not everything makes sense. By the way, congratulations to the recipients, 19 years and 1 years, and the people that picked up early chips. Welcome back and welcome home, and congratulations for a long journey, or for myself, it's the only journey that I've ever known. So if you're coming in here tonight and not everything makes sense out of the seventh step, it's only because there's 12 steps, and you're actually coming in on the seventh step. But the good news is, if not everything makes sense tonight, the good news is it's all in the book. The other good news is if you have a sponsor that knows the book or the books, the 12 and 12 in the big book, you're going to have no problem. If you're coming to us from one of the other fellowships, I would assume and I should hope that you're following the 12 steps and the basic text, and you have a sponsor, and that everything will be clearer if it's not clear tonight as you start to go through the steps. But if it's your first time here, if you're newly coming back, or if you're new in the program, or if you haven't worked the steps, I want to tell you that this is a glorious journey. It's amazing. A life surrendered to God, and you don't know what's going to happen. The big book talks about a fourth dimension. So you don't know exactly where it's going to end, and you don't know where you are in the journey, except if you're in the very beginning. You know that there's a whole amazing road. Well, if you don't know this amazing road ahead, I want to tell you that there's an amazing road ahead. It all starts with the first step, knowing that we have a problem. And then the second step, knowing that we can't do anything about it. And hopefully that somebody else, hopefully a power greater than ourselves that we're going to start to believe in, is going to come into our lives and change that. And the third step, we make a decision to turn our will and our life over to that power. That we know we can't do it. We take a look over our lives, whether you came in at 11 or 21 or 51 or 61. You take a look at your lives and you realize, you know what? I haven't done such a great job of this. I'm going to actually make a decision to turn my life and my will over to God, I believe. In the fourth step, hopefully you're going to write down some of your grosser character defects and things that are blocking you from the sunlight of the Spirit. Hopefully you're going to write down things that you never would have shared with another human being. Knowing that you're in the step process, you make a decision to move on in the steps. You make a decision to actually write stuff down. In step three, you make a decision. But in four, when you put pen to paper, you actually see if you've made that decision. In step five, you share that with another human being and God. and you walk out of step five, hopefully a whole different person. You know, Larry, if you're going to be sleeping, I'm going to turn the lights on in that area. So just to let you know, I've given you the lights off in that area section, but if there's going to be nodding off while I'm speaking, I'm just going to flip it on right now. Hopefully you're walking out with a new freedom and a new happiness. You just told your sponsor or a spiritual mentor, somebody, everything that you have never thought that you were going to tell them, and you do. You feel that God enters the presence of the fifth step, and you know you're not going to tell one of the things, or maybe a family of things. You know you're not going to share a family of things. But then during the fifth step, hopefully something magical happens, and you realize it's not about you and the guy or the gal that you're sitting in front of. They don't care about what you did. They only care about getting you to a new place with our Creator. And if you're doing it with somebody that's qualified, they're going to be able to help facilitate you to move on through. You start to feel like as you walk out of the fifth step, you start to feel a new freedom. And as I like to say, your back becomes straighter. And because you now took a weight that's been with you, for myself, it was with me since I was 11, and you've left it at the place where you did the fifth step. In the sixth step, we become entirely ready for God to remove all the things that are separating us from happiness, from being closer to Him. Everything that's separating us from actually having a useful and joyous life. But in order to do that in the sixth step, you actually have to have awareness about what you just shared in the fifth step. You can't be entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Well, actually, you can be ready to have Him remove them, but you might not know what they are, so you might not know that they needed to be removed. Last week we talked about Pagels, pride, anger, greed, gluttony, envy, lust, and sloth. And I just threw them out there, and some of you guys got it, and some of you didn't. Those are the seven deadly sins, or the seven defects of character, the major ones. However, there's a bunch of subcategories. There's impatience and intolerance and bigotry. There's judgment. There's contempt prior to investigation. There's grandiosity. I mean, there's a whole set of things that as we start to get during this process, we realize, man, I didn't know I had that. Where did that come from? When did I become grandiose? Newsflash, you were always grandiose. It's just now that you're sober, people are letting you know about it because you're not committing felonies. So people let you know when you're grandiose. As you start to go on this process, you realize grandiosity, being full of yourself, pride, anger, short temper, lack of patience. Sensitivity to noise. All these things disrupt your harmony. Carry on, we'll be fine over here. All these things disrupt your harmony on a daily basis. How do we remove these things? Very popular topic in meetings that I go to is I'm working on patience. I'm working on my tolerance of other people. I'm working on not being so judgmental. I want to tell you that the sixth and seventh step do not say anything about that. They don't say anything about you working on your defects of character. They don't say anything about, I'm really, really trying hard to be patient today. What they do say is that there is a God, He cares about you, and He wants to help you with this process. But don't take my word for it. Let me go to the book. And let me back up just for a moment. You have to be willing to go to the next step. The 12 and 12 says in step 6, before we go on to step 7, that if you're not willing to move on from here, that a lot of the gifts that you're going to be getting, you know, you hear that, oh, we will be amazed before we're halfway through. When we get to the ninth step, we're going to say that. You're going to be amazed before you're halfway through. You will be amazed before you're halfway through if you actually do this deal the way that they've outlined this. The promises aren't if you just come in and you get a cup of coffee and hang out, and I think things are going to get better. I really, really wish they're going to get better. That's not the promises. The promises come from working the steps. And one of the things it says right before we get into seven, it says, this moment we say, no, never. I'm not ready. I think I asked Justin last week, are you ready? Are you entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character? You know what you said. You know what you said. I don't know if I'm entirely ready. And you know what? Let me tell you something. Honestly, if I pose this question to you, if I say, are you entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character? Oh, not that one. I like the one. The one, the sloth one is so comfortable. I love sloth. Don't take that from me, because I'll be working all the time. Listen, let me read this to you. Sloth means laziness or taking our comfort. It's a four-letter word for procrastination. I think I learned that from Justin, actually. No, I mean, he actually told me that. That must be something that's new. A four-letter word for procrastination. I love that. Sloth. Oh, no. That's five. That's five. You see, you sent me down the wrong path. The moment we say no, never. The moment we say no, never. Not that one. You see, I just mentioned one that's very, very hard for me to let go. It's sloth. But we have to be willing, willing to let that go. If you're in here saying, no, not never, not now, not never, you've already blocked yourself off from the sunlight of the Spirit. You're already saying, I know better than God. You know what? I'm good with anger. Anger protects me. You know, the prisons are full of people with anger, defective character. Like, it protects me. Let me read this to you. The moment we say no, never, our minds close against the grace of God. Delay is dangerous, and rebellion may be fatal. This is the exact point at which we abandon limited objectives and move towards God's will for us. You guys ready for that? Come on, you guys ready for that? Ready to abandon that old way of thinking? You want to move on to step seven, or you want to hold on to your procrastination, your sloth? You want to hold on to your anger? You want to be 15 years sober and driving down 95 and still getting out of your car with a weapon? You want all that? I don't want that. I don't want that. I want, you know what I want? I want, when people see me and don't know who I am, I want them to be able to tell something's different. I'd like them to leave the experience with me and say, something's different about that guy. And I, not knowing that I'm in AA, not knowing that I'm a church member, not knowing anything, but just knowing that I have a new freedom just by maybe meeting me at the McDonald's, at the hardware store, at the dry cleaners. Man, something's different about that guy. You know how you have to have something different about you in order for people to see something different about you? You have to actually be different about you. And in order to do that, you have to let God come into your life and start cleaning that house. I don't know about you, but my house was pretty dirty at 32 years old. I hadn't done a thorough house cleaning for 32 years. Now, I don't know if you know about spring cleaning, the once in a year spring cleaning thing, but let's just picture where you live. And let's just say you only clean once a year. Man, you know that house is dirty, right? Let's say you brush your teeth once a year. Oh, man, now here we go. Now, how about you don't clean your house for 32 years? You know, we've all seen that on the news on CNN where that they're pulling out bags and bags and bags of stuff. There's always that person you see and be like, how do they live in that? That's the same way we come in without doing a thorough house cleaning in our lives. Now, we can't always see it, and not everyone's going to point it out to us. And sometimes we have these amazing lives, and we're financially stable. So if you're financially stable, no one's going to tell you anything about yourself. No one's ever going to tell you, you know, you're screwed up. Especially if you hold the financial strings in your relationships or your marriages or that you're the boss. Nobody's going to tell you anything. But let me tell you something. There's no pride when it comes to measuring yourself to God's ideals. Larry sent me this amazing text message about the early days of Alcoholics Anonymous and that the differences between New York and about Cleveland and other places in the early days. And what I loved about it is that Ohio was really big into the four absolutes. Absolute honesty, absolute purity, absolute love, and absolute unselfishness. And they were serious about it. And they were really attacking the spiritual principles with Dr. Bob. And they were going towards the spiritual route. And people were getting sober. As a matter of fact, I know, not in Akron, but in Cleveland, according to the email, people were staying sober and they just couldn't get it. Everyone was staying sober and they were making other meetings and they attributed it to following the spiritual principles. But in New York, they were saying, meeting makers make it. Is that what it was? Meeting makers make something about making meetings. Oh, no, no. Don't drink and go to meetings. That's what it was. Don't drink and go to meetings and people were drinking. Don't drink and go to meetings and people are drinking. Because if the only thing that we're stopping, if we're just trying to hold off the same thing we came in, man, I'm not going to drink again, no matter what. I can't even watch a TV show with a beer commercial. I can't even go. I can't even be on 95 with the gigantic beer bottle and the. I can't do it, man. That's because you're the same person. But show me a transformed person. Show me a person that one time couldn't see that, and then follows these steps, and then is entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, and then come to where we're tonight, and it's saying, God, I humbly ask you to remove these shortcomings from me. And let me see if you can, on right spiritual footing, walk into any situation, any house, any place, with the right motives, and not having to worry about a slip. I'm going to tell you it's possible. And I'm going to tell you, look around the room, because there's I can name 20 or 30 people that I know specifically in here that do 12-step calls on a regular basis and walk into crack houses and bars and hotel rooms and have no worry about using because they have been transformed. They're not just going to meetings and not drinking. The not going to meetings and not drinking thing is just the first little carrot in the whole buffet. It's the first little crouton. It's like you grabbing your fork and your spoon and your napkin and you grab a crouton. And here we got Myron and John Platt and all these guys and they're eating prime rib. And Don, they're eating prime rib and they got stuff going down their face. And they're like, bring me some more lobster. And I want a wife with a life beyond my wildest dreams. And you're over here going, oh yeah, but I just go to meetings and I stay sober. And I got my crouton and I stayed sober today. That's great. That's good. Let me tell you what the book says. Are we ready now to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one of them? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us to be willing. Pray for the willingness. You're not ready to have that one removed? Pray for the willingness. As soon as you say, I'm not even willing to pray for the willingness, you're not even at step six. You know already, now you've done a spiritual inventory, you know you need to just stop. If you can't pray for the willingness to do this step, where are you going on to? As soon as you go to make amends, you're going to poop all over the place. You're going to be one of these people that only make amends to your ex-girlfriends. I'm a step nine and I only make amends to my ex-girlfriends. That's because you didn't work the six and seven. You're still walking around with your lust all over you. Of course you're only going to make amends to your ex-girlfriend. You're hoping that you score still. Got a whole list of amends. I sponsored some of these guys, they got a whole list of amends. It's all ex-girlfriends. Come on. Where you been living, on an island? Fantasy island, I think. If you're ready to move on, or at least being willing to pray for the willingness, here it is. Listen up. Here it is. When we're ready to move on to step seven. Larry, you with me still? Okay, I'm just checking. When we're ready, we can say something like this. My Creator, I'm now willing that you have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and others. You ready for that prayer? You ready for that prayer? Don, you ready for that prayer? Grant me the strength as I go out of here to do your bidding or your work. I mean, does it get better than the seven-step prayer? I could live off the third-step prayer and the seventh-step prayer. I would have a life beyond my wildest dreams. Unfortunately, in between those two prayers, I go to work. That's why when we get to step 11 on page 86 and 87 and we talk about upon awakening. Upon awakening, we just turn it over to God. We just hope we don't show up at work. We hope that it's the God guy that shows up at work. Let me back up a little bit because I just love this prayer. We really could just end tonight. When ready, we say something like this: My Creator, I want that you should have all of me, good and bad. Everything that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and others. Just take it right now. Now, if you're ready to do that, if you stand humbly before the Creator and do that, all sorts of miraculous things can follow. You know what the beautiful thing about it is? You don't even need to know all your defects and all your shortcomings, because so much more is going to be revealed. Right, Laura? So much. You're going to be standing at 3 years of sobriety and you'll be like this: Man, I really have taken care of a lot of my defects of character. I am feeling amazingly spiritual. Wow. I can see where this new walk with God and this amazing new place in my life is. I'm just feeling happy, joyous, and free. And then bam! What? A character defect and a shortcoming that you didn't even know was in your family tree shows up. And then you have to return it back over. My Creator, I'm now willing that you take that one too. Good and bad. Please be with me and don't leave me alone during the day. Listen, if it only took that, then it wouldn't say the next line. Can I get a little fan action? I mean, I'm not trying to be selfish up here. It says I'm spitzing all over the place. Exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, it says right here, grant me the strength to go out and do your bidding, or grant me the strength to go out and do your work. And then it says like this: now we've completed step 7. I want to tell you that the entire step 6 and step 7 takes up a quarter of the page in the big book. And step 6 and 7 actually occupy my entire life. My entire life. How they put it in there just like that probably has something to do with humility. Probably they realized that in this specific place you needed to seek to find. That this wasn't going to be handed out to you. They weren't going to show you list A, Mr. Brown, B, took my wife, C, she can have her, D. You know, they weren't going to show you that here. Here you needed to do some work. First of all, if you're anything like me, I didn't even know anything about the word humility. Humility was like the first step that we did with powerless. I never heard that word. I don't think anyone in my family really exudes any type of humility before we came into the programs. I don't think it was a trait that anyone ever said at any dinner that I've ever been at in my entire life. Man, Uncle Jimmy is really humble. Man, you are unbelievably humble tonight, Tony. Yo, Uncle Sal, pass the potatoes. You are so humble tonight. I never heard that word. My father told me once that I needed to be more low-key. He said to me, you know what, you would have many more less problems if you'd be low-key. But then I look over at my father, and he wasn't low-key. He was like the opposite of low-key. So I never understood the blessing of humility. And then I followed guys around like Paul Lee and Russell, and Paul Lee's famous line is he says that he was going to talk about humility tonight, but there wasn't enough people here in the room, so he'll talk about it next week. And then I started to do some research while I was preparing for the step. And I realized that God opposes the proud and He shows grace to the humble. I started to do more research and I found out that in hundreds and hundreds of places in the books that they were reading when they wrote this, talks about resisting pride. That pride comes before the fall. That nothing good comes from proud, from being proud in the way that they're talking about as a defect. Not being proud of the work you do, not being proud of America, but being proud where you're blocking off the sunlight of the Spirit. You see, a lot of years I understood what they meant about asking God to remove the shortcomings, but somehow I never saw the world humbly. I want to tell you that, and I wanted to stand before you naked in that I just didn't see it. I didn't see that it, and really in order to have him come in and do the house cleaning, there need to be a level of humility. And as I read on through the steps, I realized it wasn't something that was out there, some hypothetical situation, that humility comes from just knowing that you can't do it. See, the 12 and 12 talks about that the humility that we need to have God come in and remove the shortcomings, it's just knowing that you're not God and that you can't do it and that you do need someone else and that the whole process is actually just that, a process. I want to tell you that the 12 and 12 is glorious in explaining the seventh step. It alludes to it in the big book. And I'm sure that, you know, the great gurus came in and I'm sure they did in Akron and New York and the new people, the first 100, they were like acting like they, and they did. They said, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path, and those guys were following the path. But the people after them, they couldn't have understood what the sixth and seventh step was, because if they came in after 1939, after the big book was written, they would go to those two paragraphs and they would be like, okay. And then they would see that there was nothing else written. You'd actually need a sponsor or a guide or a mentor to take you through the rest of the step seven. Because if you rely on the big book, it says, we have now completed step seven. And I lived by that. You know, I lived by that. Myron could tell you that I really lived by that. I finished step seven and step six in one afternoon. I figured this could move me a little bit further in a faster motion. I can go right from 5 to 7 in one afternoon, and I did. But as I started to read this step in the 12 and 12, I realized that seldom did we look at character building as something desirable in itself, something we would not like to strive for, whether our instinctual needs were met or not. We never thought of making honesty, tolerance, and true love of man and God the daily basis of living. Wow. You understand? There's some weight and depth to step 6 and 7. You know, last week I felt kind of like a bridled horse. I felt that I could talk about step 6, but I really couldn't apply it until step 7. I've kind of felt that way during all the steps. I loved 1 and 2, and I loved talking about 3 and then 3.2. I've loved the 2 week period. But sometimes for me, I want to talk about 6 and 7. I want to talk about 8 and 9. I want to talk about 1 and 2. I want to put them together. And guess what I found out? That's actually the way we live them. It's not like we're walking along except with maybe with step 10. Maybe with step 10 when we harm somebody and we promptly need to make amends. But we're not walking along and go, man, I just did a great 4 and 5 and wow, I'm doing a 6 and 7. Now it just becomes a way of life for us. The key tonight though, and I didn't even know it, is humility. Humility. Knowing that we're not God. That He created us. Because it says our Creator, I want you to have all of us, good and bad. And then it even says this, which I love. I pray that you now remove all. Right now, all. I'll make it right now, all. Not in my fourth year, my fifth year. We have to understand that people were doing this step and completing it 3 months. People were coming in first day, 1, 2, 3. Are you ready? Do you know you have a problem? I do. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? I do. Are you willing to turn it over to God? 1, 2, 3. Right at Dr. Bob's house. Bam. I've only been here a couple hours. 1, 2, 3. You want to sleep here tonight at my house with my wife, with Ann and my daughter, and Ann and Bit? 1, 2, 3. Up in my daughter's room. When you're done, come down. But wait, man. I heard that you need to take it slow. I've been on step 1 for 4 years. I want to get it perfectly.
The way you get step one perfectly is to work all these steps and have a spiritual awakening and be changed.
Be totally changed. Transformed.
I want to read this to you.
So it is at first we see humility as a necessity, but this is the barest beginning. To get completely away from our aversion to the idea of being humble, to gain a vision of humility as the avenue of true freedom of human spirit, to be willing to work for humility as something to be desired for itself, takes most of us a long, long time. A whole lifetime geared to self-centeredness cannot be set in reverse all at once. Rebellion dogs are every step at first. What does that mean? You don't come in, let me just rephrase this. I didn't come in, especially the first time around, as Myron can attest to it, I didn't come in at 25 years old so that I can get a dose of humility. That wasn't even in the top 1,000 reasons I came to Alcoholics Anonymous when I was 25. The first top 10 was, of course, not smoking crack and not drinking alcohol and, of course, not wanting to commit suicide. And then there was a whole bunch of other stuff afterwards. Like, in the list, I wanted to finish college and maybe marry a beautiful woman and have a job in six figures. All the top 10 things that you come into Alcoholics Anonymous with. And then as time goes on, you realize that there's a whole new set of ideals. But if you don't clean up the middle steps, if you don't actually turn it over, then guess what happens? You get it all back. Because, as a matter of fact, you even get more than you bargained for. You ever hear that saying that you come in, and if you write down the things you want when you first come in, that if you raise your hand in 5 years from now and we ask you, did you get all that stuff back, and you get so much more, your life beyond your wells, all that stuff, you heard that before? Well, what happens is you do get it back. You do get stuff back. Let me tell you something. Any program you join, in the beginning, you don't have anything. You could join Weight Watchers, and you could be overweight in the beginning, and then you start counting points, and all of a sudden, I'm sorry, this is a wrong meeting for that. Let me apologize. I'm showing you too much into my personal life. But any place that you go in the beginning, you start off. You go to the gym, it's the first day, and then you're working out, and then a year down the road, because you've been going a while, you really see results. And they're fantastic results. But if you are only going to get the girl, and then during that year you get the girl, you stop going to the gym. If the only reason you come to Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous or wherever you're going is only to stop the thing that you were doing, as soon as you've stopped that thing for a while, it seems like no big deal. Yeah, I used to do that stuff. Yeah. I don't do it anymore. But if you don't fill up the house, if you don't find out what changes you, after a while you're going to go back to it. It's not going to be a big deal. Yeah, you'll almost, for me, I almost didn't remember that I used to be an alcoholic and a drug addict. 5 years sober, it was a distant memory that I ever had a problem. I mean, I knew I had a problem with certain substances, certain specific chemicals, but to think that I was a powerless in all my affairs type of big book alcoholic, one of these degenerates from the Bowery, absolutely not. I kind of thought I was a victim of circumstance in a lot of my life. And what I found out is what you guys have been saying a long time is that the farther you are away from your drink and drug, like I'm sure Joe can attest to it, being away from for 25, 26 years, the farther away from you are from the drink and the drug, you almost lose sight of the fact of exactly what was going on back then, except when you tell your story. However, let's say that you actually fully succumb or bow down to the idea or humble yourself. In this area, you know what, God? Remove my pride. Remove my jealousy. Remove my anger. Remove whatever is blocking me off from you. Then let me tell you something. That's where it talks about a life beyond our wildest dreams. Then we're not coming in here because we have to. We're coming in here because we just can't wait to get to another thing. I mean, my schedule during the week, I can't wait to get to another deal. And my wife,
She's been coming to this meeting here now for 6 weeks. And Tuesday night is her off night. Tuesday night is the night where we don't come to meetings. So now we have a Monday night commitment. Now Tuesday night commitment for the next 5 weeks. We have a Wednesday night commitment. I have a Thursday night commitment. She has a Thursday night commitment. Friday night is couples night. But this week we're actually going to a meeting with other couples. On Saturday is our other off night. But we're actually going to a meeting to an AA and Al-Anon combination. And Sunday night, we're actually going to have a night off. We're going to be at my grandfather's. Let me tell you something about that schedule. I can't wait. I love it. Myron used to have to drag me from meeting. The only meeting that I ever wanted to go to was the meeting in the back room, the 11-step group. That was the only meeting I wanted to go in because I knew the people. But when he used to tell me that we're going to Chickie or we're going to Pine Island. I mean, when I was single, I liked Pine Island because there was cute girls there. But other than that, I used to couldn't stand to go to meetings because I was only going to meetings to get back the stuff that I lost when I was out there. And after a while, after a couple years, it didn't really seem like it was that attractive to me. I already had the car and I was starting to date the girl of my dreams and my bank account seemed fine. I kind of like lost the idea of that this is just but a spiritual kindergarten. That if we stop there, if we stop at just cleaning up in the 4 and 5, and we don't actually ever turn it over and ask God to remove the defects, that the defects are going to slowly creep in like sewage into the house. And in my specific case, it did. And as you know my story, some of you guys are new here tonight for the first time, I relapsed. On my way back, I had asked my previous sponsor from back 10 years ago to be my sponsor. I wanted to try something different. And I flew out to California. And during that time, I told you that Myron had called me and left a message on my phone. And then I had called back to him. And he told me that that Danny, our good friend, had died. And I was devastated. And I landed in San Francisco. And I did a fifth step with my sponsor. And then a real magic happened. There was a cross. I told you about the traveling fifth step. If you guys were here for that, we went all around the thing. We went to illegal places. We went to a little place in the middle of the street. We did a fifth step. And he always promised me he was going to take me to this cross. Now, it's not about religion, because when he's not of the same faith. He teaches in Jewish yeshiva, so it wasn't about that. But it was about that he knew it was important to me. And he said, you know what, Steve? I'm going to take you up the mountain, and I'm going to bring you to the cross. And I want that you get down at the cross, and I want you to say this prayer. Todd, you listening to this prayer? I hope so. You know, I could just tell that no professional sports teams are playing tonight because Todd and Robert are actually in the front. So I want to thank the NFL and the NBA, whatever that is, baseball, for not having a game tonight. Thank you so much for showing up, guys. And he takes me to the cross. We go up a mountain. Mason was there. We go up a mountain and Jerry says, get down on your knees, go to the foot of the cross. And I want you to say this prayer. It's not about a religion. He says to me, I want you to ask your creator, that God of your understanding, to take away your defects. Anything that's blocking you away from him. And I want you to do it now. I want to tell you something. I did that. And I walked down. And that was 2 years before the miracles actually started to happen in my life. But I made a step. You see, I wasn't willing to settle for, I'm just going to meetings and I'm just staying sober. I wasn't willing to settle for that. My sponsor said to me, the big book said, the 12 and 12 said, that if you want a life beyond your wildest dreams, you actually have to follow this program. The program that's outlined in these books. And I said, I'm in. I want the whole deal. I want to hit that lottery. And I signed up for it that day because, you know, in front of my sponsor, and I was only a couple years sober, and Mason was there, and, you know, I wanted to be cool. Go kneel down before a cross. I didn't really actually want to do that. It didn't seem like there was an instant payoff for that. But I did it. I did it, and I did it with some humility, and I did it because I wanted more. And I asked him to take away those things. And I want to tell you something. And this is really the honest truth. The man that stands before you is not the man that came in Alcoholics Anonymous 8 years ago. It's a total transformation of a person.
My father said to me the other night, knowing that our next door, four houses down, is suing us to have our dogs removed from our house. The only things that we have, we don't have children. When my wife and I, the lowest day of our life, when we found out we weren't pregnant after we were pregnant, those dogs were there to kiss and lick my wife's face while she was broken and crying. Those dogs are the only thing that we have. And four houses down, my neighbor's suing us to have my dogs removed from my house because of an incident that happened 6 years ago. My father knows, because he knows me since I was born, that there's only one way that Steve Boyarsky would handle that. There's only one way. We wouldn't be talking about any situation with my neighbor. We would be CNNing that situation. You understand? You would be reading about that situation. You would be news flashing at it, because Steve Boyarsky is not going to stand for that. But I want to tell you something. Stevie B, alcoholic, is praying for that person. I pray for that person. My wife and I pray for that person and his wife today and their business and their life. They pass us and they give us the look and they give us the evil eye, and I put my head down. You know, it says that, and one of the teachings that they were reading when they were writing the big book is you know, of course, from the good book. And one of the sayings it says is that the meek shall inherit the earth. And the meek does not mean weak. The meek means the humble. That it's okay to turn you away from a fight. That it's okay to let everyone, that this too shall pass. It's okay not to show up every time you've been invited. I'm going to tell you that total transformation happens, not because I'm trying real hard to be a better person, or that we're trying real hard to be a better person, because we've actually humbly asked Him to remove the things that separate us from being a better person. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay, this has been a typical meeting of House and Office. We have a planning committee, everybody's on it. We couldn't just
So glad to see you. Thanks.